Our country's political landscape is polarized to the point that we rarely hear each other. Larry Sharp has traveled the country and has personally visited every county in New York State, listening to people's concerns. The Sharp Way is a show where answers, solutions, and common ground can be found so that together we can forge a new way forward. The Sharp Way is the way to mutual respect, where no one has to convert to be heard, because you can be as liberal or as conservative as you want, as long as you aren't forcing your beliefs on others. Welcome to Sharp Way Radio.
Oh, yes, it is Larry Sharp here on Sharp Way Radio. So happy that you are with me this afternoon. You know, the things that are happening across New York State and New York City, as I often stress New York City on this show, because whatever happens here goes to wherever you are. I remember when I was a kid, growing up in the 70s in the Bronx, early 70s in the Bronx, I should say, and late 70s too, old 70s, I was there the whole time. And my parents and how they were trying to get us out of a tough neighborhood. It was the South Bronx back in the day. And people remember how tough that was. And it was indeed tough. How do we get out? How do we survive? How did so many people survive and get out? And I tell this story often because it really matters. What I remember as a kid in the Bronx is that so many of the local businesses were owned by local people, right? There was a large Asian community also in that area, heavily Hispanic, heavily Black, still some white people in the Bronx at that time, older Jewish people from a time ago, and some Asians, some South Asians, Indian, Pakistani, some Chinese, Korean, there were some. And many of the stores that were owned by people who lived in the neighborhood or at least nearby in the Bronx. It's a common thing. And for those who didn't own something, what often would happen is people would try to do things on their own. My father was an example of that. My father decided that he was going to be a DJ. This is the 70s and the Bee Gees and Donna Summer and the disco era. So he decided he was going to be a DJ. We literally had at one point a station wagon. We shoved stuff in the back of it after we had gotten rid of our very expensive Mark IV, which was doing nothing. We got an actual practical car, and he'd put stuff in it, drive off, and do DJ work. Sometimes take my mother with him. And I'd be a latchkey kid. I'd stay at home while they went and got extra money. My mom decided that she was going to do something that she thought she could do. She would clean offices or clean houses on the weekends. She would often bring me, and I'd have to clean windows and clean houses and stuff. I was probably 7, 8, 9, 10. Child labor, I guess. But I was doing it, right? She was like, clean this, do that. I was doing it because mom told me to. We're making money. We saved and we put our money together. And that's how we were able to leave the Bronx and go buy a house someplace else. And that's how I was able to go to high school, not in Manhattan, not in New York City, not in the Bronx, but on Long Island. Because that was a big deal for us. It was a step up for us. And I thought about that, and I said, this is what made people grow, right? This was the big deal. People began to grow because they found an entrepreneurial spirit. I remember in my neighborhood on the stoop, girls would braid hair on the stoop for money, a dollar or whatever it was, and they'd braid hair for it. People would, on the streets, literally, just smash out people's doors and bumpers and such when cars made out of metal and rebuff them and fix them on the street for money. It's the thing people did. Gypsy cabs. There was no Uber when I was a kid. A lot of cabs would not come to my neighborhood. So gypsy cabs would come. Guy would paint one side of his door a different color from the rest of the car. We'd know that gypsy cab. And they would come. That was a thing that happened often. That went away. The local pizza shop I bring up often used to be Joe's Pizza. He retired, gave it to his daughter Paula. It became Paula's Pizza. Now it's a Subway. I think the guy who owns it lives in Connecticut. That entrepreneurial spirit went away. But even during the drug wars, even drug problems, there was still an entrepreneurial spirit, but now it was illegal. Now it became the black market. When the government came in and made it so difficult for us in poor neighborhoods to have legal businesses, we just had poor illegal businesses, black market businesses. And even they were good. Where'd you get your weed or your cannabis? You got it from the guy in the corner. He knew. You knew who the good guy was, who the bad guy was. Back then, they used to call it reefer. I don't know if they still call it that now, but used to call it reefer back then. You know, where'd you get your reefer from? I remember someone, probably 10 years ago, give or take. Guy says, Larry, how do you get weed now in New York? I said, it's an app. You just press the app and a guy on a bike comes by and gives you weed. He's like, seriously? Said, yeah. Just put in the app. Guy drives by on a bike because it's tough to drive around in the city in a car and expensive, so a bike. Guy comes on a bike, gives you weed. Done deal. You pay on the app, life is good. I'm not joking. That's how it worked. And I always thought that the war on drugs is actually a war on black and brown entrepreneurship. And people think, what? Yeah. How do I know this? Because years ago I worked for a, I supported a nonprofit. It's called Defy, I think. I don't know if it still exists, but this is years ago. That literally would be backed by people who were in the finance industry. MBAs, bankers, that kind of stuff. Who would take people who had gotten out of prison for running drugs and would support them in starting a business. You might say, wait a minute, these guys are drug dealers. Yes, it's a business. It's an illegal business that has to use violence to enforce its contracts. So these people would say, no. Still want contracts. You know how to deal with all these things. You know how to get a workforce going. You know how to distribute product. But let's do it in a way that's legal. You don't have to use violence. Use regular courts. Use regular everything. And these are people out of Wall Street. These were people who were financiers saying, I want to find a way to invest money in someone. Look, if you're a drug dealer and you made money and they caught you, you're a successful business person. If I can pull the violent part out of you, I got a viable entrepreneur. That's what I got, someone who I can make money off of. And they literally did that. So I knew back then you could use a bike app to get your cannabis, that people could do cannabis on their own. They didn't require government. So in 2018, I was in Western New York. I forgot exactly where. But I know, for those of you who don't know, in Western New York, one of the things we grow in Western New York is onions. It's one of the things that we grow. So someone said, so Larry, what do you think about cannabis? And I said, it's a plant. You know what? We should regulate it like onions. Now, did I know what the actual rules on onions were at the time? I did not. What I knew is we grew onions in that area. I thought it would be cool. It was a local crop. So I said, regulate like onions. And boy, did that take off. People thought it was funny. They thought it was cool, interesting, brought up on Joe Rogan, all kind of cool stuff. And I stand by that concept. Now, maybe onions isn't the best one. Maybe it should be carrots or peas. I don't care. But it should be like a plant. I brought it up then. I spoke about it for years. I still believe it. Like a plant. We didn't do that. I warned everybody more than once on the record, on debates. I said, if we don't do it like this, big business will win, small farmers will lose, individual people in the hood will lose, all the people who are working class will lose, big business, big finance will win. That is what I said. People ignored me. My plans were on my website. Everybody knew what I was talking about. People ignored me. And then what did we do? We regulated it with an Office of Cannabis Management. We regulated like the crazy people in our government wanted us to regulate it, like Her Majesty Queen Kathy decided to do so. And to be forward, His Majesty King Cuomo II would have done it also, right? He would have done it just as bad as her. Both of them were going to be terrible. And they would, of course, couch it in the lie of fairness. They will couch it in the lie of fairness. But there is no actual fairness in what they did. Fairness would have been regulating it like a plant. How do we know this? Because right now, who's winning and who's losing? Our governor, sorry, our lord and master, our lady and master, Queen Kathy the first of her name, destroyer of the middle class, banisher of the conservatives, she has said openly, it's not working. We have to rethink this. It's not working. For some reason, this bureaucracy that she created didn't work. What? Shocker on that one. Didn't see that one coming, did you? Didn't see creating an Office of Cannabis Management. And if you don't live in New York and you're listening, that's a real thing. New York State created an Office of Cannabis Management. And when they first mentioned it, my response was, oh, so now you need an Office of Cannabis Management to save all the people from dying from cannabis? Where are all the people who died from cannabis as this has been the black market since the 1930s? So cannabis has been the black market for give or take 90 years. Where are all the deaths? There are none. None exist. So they thought, well, we got to protect them. Protect who? All the people who use cannabis. Okay, black market for 90 years. Where's all the deaths? None. Office of Cannabis Management. That's an office of my friends get jobs, as I say every single time. Office of my friends get jobs. That's the problem. This is an attack on entrepreneurship and a grift for her donors and supporters, as always, couched in the lie of fairness and equity, which is also a lie. Nothing but things getting worse and worse here. Government's not the answer. You guys should know that by now. Of course, know that. Am I crazy? You can tell me. Sharpway Radio, WYSL Rochester, New York, 585-346-3000 is the number to call after this break. And I will get to those phone calls and your chat. I see it after the break.
Introducing a sobering and unavoidable truth. The latest advancements in artificial intelligence have made cyber attacks easier than ever before. Cyber criminals are relentlessly targeting your business right now, seeking the tiniest opening in your defenses to drain your accounts and steal sensitive data. Your finances and your customers' trust are on the line. Call the experts at Simple Tech Innovations now at 585-999-TECH to secure your business today. Don't wait until it's too late. Make the call today. 585-999-TECH.
To live the quality of life we deserve in truth and freedom, informed by our Constitution, our laws, and traditions, we need to pick the best leaders possible. Recent experience certainly illustrates that. Free and accurate elections are essential if we're going to restore our society and safeguard our rights. New York Citizens Audit is a volunteer, nonpartisan group which has been lobbying for open-source audits of the State Board of Elections and reform of the electoral process statewide. Did you know Citizens Audit has uncovered over 1 million felony violations of election law? That in 2020, there were 625,000 more voter registrations than existing voting age citizens in just six New York counties? That there were 338,000 more votes cast than voters who voted? These are just a few shocking examples of the urgent need for reform. You can help. Visit auditny.com and learn the facts, how to volunteer, and make a difference in your community. Again, volunteer, donate, or spread the word. Start at auditny.com. That's auditny.com.
Sharpway Radio on the WYSL stations.
Who is it?
It's me, Dave. Open up, man. I got the stuff.
Who?
It's Dave, man. Open up. I think the cops saw me come in here.
Dave?
Yeah, Dave. Come on, man. Open up. I think the cops
Dave's
saw me.
Dave's not here.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E.
Dave's not here.
I don't know if we want Dave to come or not. But I do know that Dave was an entrepreneur. That I do know. Larry Sharp here, Sharpway Radio, WYSL, Rochester, New York, 585-346-3000 is the number. So happy that you guys are with me today. I want to move on to what actually is happening. What do I mean by that? Now that we've installed this horrible law, which I told you it was horrible before, it was going to be bad. And it's worse than I thought. Why did I want it to be decriminalized and not legalized? Why did I want it to be just treated like a plant? Because what I wanted to happen was to support local entrepreneurs, both in the city and out in the rural areas. Urban and rural, both could be benefited from this. What do I mean by that? A lot of local farmers, and if you live out in the rural area, you know, a lot of local farmers struggle. Of course they do. Why not provide them with a cash crop? Provide them with a cash crop and, on top of that, treat them like the entrepreneurs that farmers are. Give them every benefit that an entrepreneur will get, to include specialized loans, lower insurances, all the things entrepreneurs get, not punishing them and treating them like agriculture, which only helps big ag. Instead, treat them like entrepreneurs. If you want to create a cash crop, you want to create a craft grow, a certain type of cannabis that is only going to help people for certain things. Maybe you're going to create your Tegrity Farms for you South Park friends. You're going to create that? Go ahead. Make a certain blend that does X or does Y, whatever the case may be. Maybe it's for pain. Maybe it's for anxiety. I don't care. Whatever people want. Now, all of a sudden, farmers have a chance at surviving against the big boys. Now they can grow if they want to. More importantly, they can keep their family members with them. If you are a farmer, you know one of the problems is your family moves away because you can't afford to keep them on the farm. But imagine if now you could. Your daughter or your son doesn't want to be a farmer, but they want to be a marketing guy or gal, or they want to be an operations guy or gal. Okay, they can stay on your farm and do that. They can create marketing for your new product if you want to, up to you. But not just cannabis products, all hemp, hempcrete, yes, hemp ropes, hemp cloth, whatever. Whatever you think is right for your area, now all of a sudden we are spurring that entrepreneurship that could actually make people in rural areas and urban areas actually do good things, grow their own businesses, gain their own economic control. And for those of you who lean left, let them be co-ops if you want to. Make co-op farms if you want to. All good. I'll support that too. As long as it's voluntary. I don't mind. You can have co-op farms if you want to. All good. You guys should take the benefits and the proceeds from the hemp products and make a credit union. Now we got co-op banking. Enjoy. Aren't Democrats supposed to care about that stuff? They don't. I'm a libertarian. I do. You can still do that. Why? Because I want you to be happy. I want you to be able to build your own business and own your own property. That's what I want. Democrats, Republicans in this state don't. They don't care. They want to grift. Again, Office of Cannabis Management. And what does it do? It decides who gets licenses and who doesn't. Huh. Who's going to be on that Office of Cannabis Management? All of Her Majesty's friends, so that they can make sure the small farmer gets crushed and big agriculture grabs up everything. But big ag isn't just big ag. Big ag is also big finance, because the people put all the money together and then decide, hey, we're going to buy this thing. Those people are all big finance. So big finance makes money. Big ag makes money. And farmers keep dying. Matt go, Larry, you only care about farmers? I thought you live in New York City. No. I care about farmers. I do. But I also care about urban people too. Both. So now what do we have in New York City? Well, people have opened up cannabis stores in New York City. Dozens of them all over New York City. I'm sure many cities. Kathy Hochul said, hey, we can't have that. Those are against the law. Let's go hammer those. Wait a minute. Why? What she told us, the lie that she told us, let me say it very clear, the lie that she told us was, we want to make sure that people of color are serving their own communities safely. That's what she said. That was the lie she said. That was a lie. Why? Because they were already doing that. Where did you get your cannabis? From your local guy, your local gal. Were you dying from it? No. So the local people were already servicing their local community safely. That was happening. Once they said it was legal, people said, great, I'm going to go get a store. I'm going to literally pay rent to somebody locally, own a store locally, and keep selling cannabis to my local people. They know who I am. If I screw them over, I'm literally going to end up being unalived. That's going to happen. They know me. I've been selling them weed for 20 years. And what did Our Majesty do? She said, nope, lock them down. She's throwing them out, putting them in jail, fining them. So she is literally hurting the people who, again, are people of color selling to their community safely, which is what she said she wanted. Again, the lie of fairness, the lie of equity. It was already there. You could have just said, good luck, guys. That's it. Regular insurance. Don't screw your customers over. Don't defraud your customers. And that, by the way, is for any business. Whatever you say is in a product or service needs to be in that product or service. And if it is, you're good. If it's not, that's fraud. That's a crime. And it should be a crime. No worries about that. She didn't do that. She made the Office of Cannabis Management, which can't give out anything as fast as she wants it, because they don't want to. Not just that. She threw so much tax on it, just like California, just like Colorado. Colorado's better, still bad, but less worse than California, to where now there is still a black market in cannabis here in New York City, in New York State. So you made it legal and there's still a black market. Who would have thought of that back in 2018? Who was talking about that black market? That was, oh, right, me, when I was running for governor and screaming about it for the past 6 years. Yes. You can't create a black market and then be angry there's a black market when you created it, which she did, and she knew. So now she's taking money and time from exactly the people that she said she was trying to help. Again, she said, that's a lie, but she did say it. Oh, I'm going to help people of color. I'm going to help black people. I'm going to help black New Yorkers. I'm going to help them. No, you're not. You're going to put more of them in jail. Every one of her policies is supposed to help black Americans, black New Yorkers, hurts them. Why do you think so many of them are walking away from the Democratic Party? Why are so many black Americans walking away from the Democratic Party? They're finally figuring out. They do talk a great game. And that's true. I want to always give credit where credit is due. Democratic rhetoric, when it comes to black people, is really good. They talk a great game. Far better than Republicans. Republicans talk terribly to the black community. Right? Democrats speak wonderfully. The words are amazing. They're just all lies. They're just all garbage. And then their policies are even worse. But the talk is nice. So if you like sweet nothings in your ear, stay with Democrats. You'll be fine. You'll get lots of sweet nothings. But that's what it is. Sweet nothings. And many people are realizing that. And this cannabis problem is a perfect example of it. It was supposed to be meant to stop the evil, bad white people, rich people, and to help the poor black people. That was the story they told us. I warned you it was a lie. It was exactly the opposite. It's helping the wealthy to stay more wealthy. It's creating more monopolies, more oligopolies, more of a wealth gap. People keep complaining about the wealth gap and then keep asking government to fix the wealth gap. Government's the reason for the wealth gap. It isn't greedy billionaires. People are always greedy. Billionaires were always greedy. That's what they are. I get it. But it takes government to make it actually work. Government to create the monopoly. Government to take away all our power and give it just to them. That is the problem. Larry Sharp, Sharp Boy Radio, WYSL, Rochester, New York, 585-346-3000 is the number. Back with your calls and the chat. I see you. I will get to the chat, I promise. I had to yap for a bit. But I will get to the chat right now after the break. We'll be right back.
Sharp Way Radio on the WYSL stations.
It is Larry Sharp here on Sharp Way Radio, WYSL, Rochester, New York, 585-346-3000. I've been talking a lot about entrepreneurial spirit, the terrible cannabis laws in New York State, and how the grifters keep grifting, the poor keep getting poorer, and we can see exactly how that was going to happen literally years ago. It is a terrible idea. Let me grab a couple of comments here. Austin says, "Hey, Larry, just want to let you know that in Kentucky, you and Roger's voice are being heard. We have bills filed proposing leasing naming rights to roads to private companies." Yay. "And ballot initiatives. Look at that. I'm not just screaming into the wind. Someone is actually hearing what I have to say. I love it." Austin, thank you. That's great news. For those of you who don't remember, I actually spent a lot of my campaign talking about ways of raising money other than taxation, other than constantly hammering people. And again, more rules and laws that can actually raise money to get the wealthy to pay voluntarily for the working class. One of those ideas was leasing naming rights of bridges to other companies, right? They do it for stadiums all the time, right? You get this stadium, that stadium, right? They pay $20 million a year for a stadium that's used on weekends. I'm talking about leasing the name of a bridge that is mentioned hundreds of times in traffic reports every single day in a 16 million metro person area, 16 million person metro area. That's worth $100 million. You put $100 million onto a bridge, well, then why do I require tolls anymore? I don't need tolls. That pays for the maintenance. Well, good. So now people get to have the bridge for free. No tolls. Tolls in New York City bridges are anywhere from $8 to $15 for one way. If you're wealthy, you don't care because you're wealthy, or you already live in Manhattan, so you don't care because you're wealthy. If you're not wealthy, you're working class. That's a lot of money. Every day? It's a lot of money. Stops tourists? It's a lot of money. Get rid of that. Money goes into the kitty, takes care of maintenance. We still own the bridge. We still inspect the bridge. Great idea. There's at least a dozen bridges and tunnels we can do that here in New York City. And I'm sure across the state, it wouldn't be $100 million for other areas. But whatever it is, say it's $20,000. Say it's $100,000. $1 million. Whatever the number is. Better than zero. Not a bad idea. So thank you for that. I appreciate that idea completely. So, yes. If I can keep going on here. The lunatic libertarian says, legalize anything is still ask the government for permission. It should be decriminalized. Yes and no. And let me give you the no, the pushback. No matter what we do, and he's obviously more libertarian hardcore than I am, which is fine. I need my people like that. They keep me straight. The reality of it is the world, the state is simply not ready for that. Are you theoretically correct? You are. Are you realistically correct? You're not. I would like us to move one step at a time to get people to believe and feel like we can go there. Sadly, this Office of Cannabis Management, there are still lots of New Yorkers. I would argue probably the majority of New Yorkers who still think, even though everything I just said is true, that it's a good idea because without it, we'll all die. And if they believe that, how can we stop that? We can't go where you want to go without the people seeing it. Right? If I were to tell the average New Yorker, particularly here in New York City, we should get rid of the Office of Cannabis Management, they would think I'm against cannabis. They would go, "You don't want us to have cannabis?" That's what they would tell me. Because in their minds, now that there is an Office of Cannabis Management, without it, you can't have cannabis. I know that sounds silly as I say it, because it is silly, and obviously not true, demonstrably false. That's okay. They still think it. So I get what you're saying. You've got to be realistic and understand where we are, particularly in this state. Yes. Jonathan says, yes, and so can shared parenting reform. I'm not sure where that comes from, but yes, we should reform family court. Yes. I also talked about that 6 years ago, too. I'm not sure where that comes from, Jonathan, but you're right. We need massive reform in family court. Oh, I guess maybe because of poor families. Yes, okay. Working families, working class families, and working poor families are devastated by family court. Are wealthy families beat up by family court? Of course. Everyone's beat up by family court. But if you have more money, when you lose a bunch to the government and the court system and the lawyers, which you will, you still have some left over. So you survive better. You're still hammered. But when you're working poor or working class, either of those two, and you lose a bunch of money to the court system and the judges, and the lawyers, you're devastated. You're devastated. 100% correct. So we should do that, yes. A little bit off topic, but so what? I still like it. I don't really care. Morgan says, the obstacles to get into the legal marijuana business prohibits people from underprivileged areas from entering the work field. Yes, and something else. When immigrants come to America, the migrants who come to America, and they want to work in this field, when people want to come and fix things in this field, the problem is they don't know how to get past all the bureaucracy. So now I can't even get my migrants working. I can't get my native-born Americans who just want to service their community. I can't get them to do it. And I even can't even get migrants to do it. I can't get anybody to do it except for the wealthy people that the already corrupt and broken Office of Cannabis Management in New York State is saying who can and who can't. Yet again, government picking winners and losers, not allowing local people to decide who they want to buy their cannabis from. Why wouldn't you just let local people, to your point, Morgan, people who are already buying cannabis, buy it from who they trust? I'm sure some of these guys have been selling them weed for 10 years. Now, to be forward, you might think, Larry, wow, you must really like weed. I don't use it at all. I am the squarest guy in the room, except maybe Mormons, because I do use caffeine. Caffeine is my drug. That's it. I don't drink. I don't smoke. No weed. No opioids. None of that stuff. I don't do any of it. But my point is, so what if I don't do it? I don't get to tell you what to do. If you want to take my advice, awesome, please take it. That's great, but that's voluntary. You don't have to. You should put in your body what you think is correct and appropriate to put in your body. I should have no say in that. Unless, again, you want my opinion for some reason, I'm happy to give you my opinion. That's all I ever do is yap and give people my opinion. But you are not required to take it even if you ask for it. So, in any case, you're absolutely correct. This makes sure that only the wealthy are able to get there. 100%. Patty goes, decriminalization is the only way to do this, and then think of it as a plant. Agreed. Imagine if it was just a plant. So you could grow it wherever you want, try to make it work. I'll go back to medicine. And then forget this story when I was running in 2018 and I would go to fairs, state fairs. Very often, people would come, and the person who would come to me very often would be an older woman, probably in her 50s, 60s, 70s, an older woman, not a teenager, but an older woman would come by, and she'd almost always be moving slowly in some way, either with a walker or a cane or sometimes even in a wheelchair. And she would say things like, I really hope you get elected. Now I said, why? Because I need marijuana for my pain. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. She goes, yeah, so I'm scared. I said, why are you scared? Because I have to go get my son or daughter, but it was almost always son, to go buy it. And I'm saying he's going to get in trouble because I can't sleep without it. I can't sleep without it. I thought to myself, this woman has three choices. And it was always a woman. I don't know why. It happened like 10 times. It happened so often. That's how I know the story. It was almost always a woman. She was either in a walker, a cane, or in a wheelchair. And it was usually son. It probably was a cousin or a nephew or something, or daughter. But it was usually son who went to go buy her weed. And she had several options. One, gamble on her son going to jail. Wow. Two, take an opioid who she's afraid of because she's seen people get addicted and people die from it. So she's scared. So take that and maybe get addicted and maybe die. Or three, suffer. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? And we make it to where it's hard to get and expensive. But what if you're not wealthy? And you've got chronic pain. And you want to go spend time with your family and friends, like we all should be able to do. Spend time with people you want to spend time with. Why not? That's what makes you happy. Go do that. You can't afford it. I have an idea. Grow your medicine in your backyard. Why not? You can grow tomatoes in your backyard if you want to. You can grow onions in your backyard if you want to. Why can't you grow your medicine in your backyard? Go do it. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Yes. Michael Voss is here. How are you, sir? He says, one thing is clear. Hemp and legal weed is not the home run quick fix to New York economy as promised. Yes, it was a lie. 100%. The whole point was a feel-good gimmick to get votes. Vote for me for free stuff. Yes and yes. Agreed. I don't think any of it would be a quick fix. I don't think there is a quick fix. But I do think if you actually have done it the right way, you would have grown the economy and made some people at least feel better. 100%. I think that's true. So Morgan says, profit and control over everything. Yes, but no. And I got to be clear on this. I'm not against profit at all. I think profit's great. I want us all to make tons of money. I want everyone to make tons of money. But that's not what this is about. This is about specific people taking all the profit. This is about the wealthy keeping all the money and the working class and the working poor getting nothing. And the guy or gal in the urban area or in the rural area getting nothing but screwed over. Profit is great if we can all get it. If we can actually compete and all get it, and we can grow their own property, that's when it's good. The way this is done, this is just, again, a kleptocracy, a thugocracy, another way of griftocracy. Am I wrong? Tell me. 585-346-3000. Larry Sharp, Sharp Way Radio, WYSL, Rochester, New York. Back with your calls and your chat after.
Introducing a sobering and unavoidable truth. The latest advancements in artificial intelligence have made cyber attacks easier than ever before. Cyber criminals are relentlessly targeting your business right now, seeking the tiniest opening in your defenses to drain your accounts and steal sensitive data. Your finances and your customers' trust are on the line. Call the experts at Simple Tech Innovations now at 585-999-TECH to secure your business today. Don't wait until it's too late. Make the call today. 585-999-TECH.
While many local collision and repair shops have been gobbled up by national chains with their impersonal touch, Flower City Collision remains locally owned and operated. The shop was started by a local veteran who taught his son Zach the basics in customer service and providing customers value. Flower City doesn't work with a specific insurance company. They want to be your advocate. If you need a repair, reach out to Zach at Flower City Collision in Henrietta. He will work with your national insurance company on your local behalf to ensure you get the repair you need done right.
Avon Gun and Hunting Supply, a locally owned and operated gun shop here for your hunting needs. With changes in New York State laws, they'll work with you to fulfill your needs. Open from 10 a.m. Tuesday through Saturday, Avon Gun, East Main Street, next to Tompkins Community Bank.
Livingston County Pizza Company and Gluten-Free Bakery has a great deal on Tuesdays. A large four-topping pizza for $18, regular or gluten-free. Call 226-9575. Open Tuesday through Sunday. Livingston County Pizza Company and Gluten-Free Bakery in Avon.
Sharp Way Radio on the WYSL stations.
It is Larry Sharp here on WYSL, Rochester, New York, Sharp Way Radio. So happy you give me a small chunk of your afternoon. We've been talking about legalizing, decriminalizing, rich and poor, and the griftocracy. That is absolutely New York State. I want to grab a call if I could. Mike, how are you, sir?
Larry, hey, pretty good. Been listening to the show. I think I jump in by two cents.
Please.
I fully agree with you. We should legalize it totally, outright, even on the federal level. And the reason I say the federal level, because right now it's scheduled worse than heroin and cocaine. Okay.
Yes.
And what happens is people in your Second Amendment rights, even though it's semi-decriminalized in New York State, but if you had a New York State pistol permit and you bought a gun and you go fill out that 4473, one of the questions they ask are, do you smoke, you know, do you use drugs?
Yep.
And if you answer no, and you did because you're using it medicinally or even recreational, you are a felon. So we need to go onto the federal level, and this way we could actually, you know, I mean, it's a great thing. But Kathy Hochul, you know, it was a money grift.
Yes,
for her and all of her friends. Same thing like Lucy's, you know, Lucy's cigarettes.
Yes, okay? Absolutely. That's why Eric Garner died.
Eric Garner died
because he was selling Lucy's cigarettes.
That's because the king wasn't getting his tax.
That's exactly right. So someone's got to die from that. 100%. I cannot agree more with you. I think the idea that I'll touch a couple pieces if I could. The first one is when you say someone can't have Second Amendment rights because they smoke a plant. So now you can't defend yourself if you have a medical issue. How unconstitutional and cruel is that? Right? Not just that, a whole lot of veterans have PTSD and TBI. They could use cannabis. It's proven to make it better for them, to make things easier for them. You've just screwed our veterans over. Nothing but bad. I agree, Mike. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I want to grab another call if I could. Roger, how are you, sir?
All right. I'll make this quick. You can't legalize cannabis without having a public bank to ensure local community banks and credit unions to act as the replacement insurer for FDIC so that those local credit unions and community banks will be allowed to take in profits that comes from the cannabis industry. As of now, all of those states that legalized it, they can't put their money in the bank because they have to abide by federal banking laws because they're all FDIC.
Yep.
So now they got to put, you know, they got to put it, I don't know, in safes or whatever. That makes
no,
them
no,
vulnerable.
They, you're totally correct. They wind up having heavily cash businesses paying big dollars for security, wind up going back into the black market by default. You're totally trying to get into cryptocurrency and such because they can't use dollars. Everything you're saying is totally correct. This goes back to Mike's point. Mike's like, it's got to be the federal level. But if it's not the federal level, Roger, you're correct. You have a state bank, like, as you know, North Dakota. You start having public banking. Public banking can then insure the banks so that these people can have regular banking. I completely agree.
And I was so sad that on the ballot initiative last year, they didn't legalize cannabis in North Dakota. But it was an odd number to that election year, so it was a low turnout. So we really don't know how North Dakotans really feel about legalizing it.
Right. It might actually happen. I agree. Okay. Roger, thank you for the call. I appreciate it, brother. Yeah, I mean, this is a big point, right? If I'm going to legalize an industry or decriminalize an industry, maybe it's a better way of doing it, they have to have a way to finance themselves. The federal government saying no, how can they? So we have to have some form. I'm happy if a public bank can do that. Whatever it will take to grow, that's what I want, to grow. Is it Eilina? Oh, I hope I'm saying it right. Eilina, she says, I bought it for my dad and made brownies and butter for his dementia. Aw. Spent a year in FDC for growing. Oh, my God. That was 20 years ago. I'm going to tell you a crazy story real fast, Eilina. My father had died of cancer years ago. In the 70s and 80s. He actually died in 80. And over that time, he was a cop and a corrections officer, both. And his cop friends, when they would confiscate weed from people, would bring it to him and he would smoke it in the police car. I know. This is the 70s. They knew back then it was good for him to deal with he was getting chemotherapy back then, having all types of pain. They were cutting him open back in the 70s. nowhere near as it is today. And to deal with that pain, his cop friends gave him weed to smoke in the cop car and held guard around him while he would smoke it. Yeah, 50 years ago that was happening, and now we're still playing this game. You are absolutely correct. Thank you for that. I'm grabbing another call if I can. Keith, how are you, sir?
I'll relieve you of that moniker of biggest square. That is me. how very sad that it takes grass to pull the poor up and out while China and other countries are going with new, big, huge, super technologies. Our people are simply getting stoned, and stoners can't compete with very smart, sober, elite people. How very, very sad.
Ooh,
and what a decline for America. Thank you. Bye.
No, Keith, I appreciate that concept. Right? I think a lot of people would say that weed, cannabis, will make people lazy. And I'm not sure if that's true. It might be. I'm sure someone could show me some type of study that might show that. I don't know if it's true. But what I do know is we are, without question, taking drugs, weed, opioids, fentanyl. That is true. And if that's our problem, that's a separate issue we have to repair. I'm not against that at all. You have to repair that issue. But if I'm going to have a society that is taking drugs, I'd rather them take the safest, least addictive drugs there are. That's cannabis. And that's a fact. That is demonstrably true. It is the least harmful and the least addictive of all these other drugs people are taking. So if you're going to take drugs, do that one. And if that one can get you into a point where you start seeing success in your life, to where, to your point, Keith, maybe if people start seeing more success in their life, start seeing hope for the future, maybe they'll take less drugs. Maybe they'll smoke less cannabis. Maybe they'll actually get out there and make things happen. I mean, a lot of people who are making money in the cannabis industry also use cannabis. So they've somehow found a way to take their passion and to make money and to, you know, do a lot of good work, give people jobs. I think you can. So I think your point's valid if that's the issue that we're dealing with. And I'm sure that drugs are an issue we're dealing with. It's clear. It's obvious. Why wouldn't I want Americans on the safest, least addictive of the drugs? And why wouldn't I want them, if at all possible, to grow from it and to get poorer people to advance? I think it's the best way of doing things. Guys, I want to say thank you so much for giving me a small chunk of your afternoon. I will see you all very soon. I will